Let's get to some serious business. The fires here in Arizona, the only thing good right now that we know of about any of this is that the legislature is finally doing some things in a bipartisan way, which is to get $100 million invested for wildfire prevention. I want you to hear something from AZ Family that should kind of freak everybody out. The drought, the dryness of everything, and the fires that are burning. Listen to this report about the water they're using or trying to use to fight these fires.
John Truitt is a state fire management officer and spoke at the state capitol Wednesday, telling officials the San Carlos Lake is so low they can't even scoop water out of it for airdrops, or they'd leave the lake completely dry.
Now, I want you to think about that. They cannot even get water out of a lake because it would render it too dry. So now they have to go to other lakes.
Truitt says while they can pull water from bigger lakes, they take longer to get to, and every second counts when it comes to stopping the fast-moving flames.
It's a long turnaround. The fire just keeps spreading, and it really isn't adequate enough to keep a line of water on there to put the fire out.
So what happens with these fires, if you're new to Arizona, these fires for us are such a big deal because you see how hot and how fast they burn. And sometimes the terrain is so treacherous, you can't get there on the ground, you can't get there with people. They can only fight it from overhead. And then once it jumps a break, whether it's a natural break or it is a man-made break, once they jump those breaks, then again, you've got to start setting up other breaks down the road. And it's so difficult. The other thing that's going to happen is we're at the beginning of the monsoon season, and hopefully we are going to get some relief and some rain. But what happens is, what they call it, moonscape. It burns everything out of the brush. Well, then when it rains, we get flash floods because it washes everything down the side of these hills, which is another reason why here they are trying to get the lawmakers are trying to get $100 million for prevention and relief, because a lot of these areas now are going to be in big danger from flash floods when we finally get some rain. So there's a lot of work to be done even after the fires are done. But the devastation that we've seen in some of the pictures is enormous. And you're seeing loss of property, you're seeing loss of the foliage and of the trees, but the long-term effects of this are really going to be what's damaging. And this is where people in Arizona are starting to step up and starting to understand. So if nothing else, this is bringing awareness. And we're not that far into fire season, which means this could be the worst year yet. I just saw a news story about California. They are worried about having the worst fire season ever after the devastation that they suffered as well. There's going to have to be some real thought and work put into things by state legislatures and by the federal government with their rules on clearing and their rules on what you can do. Because if we don't start on a path in the forests, if we don't start here in Arizona, in northern Arizona, in some kind of a logging industry where we thin the forests and where we cut in fire trails and we're able to manage the fires, we are going to see devastation after devastation after devastation. And there's something needs to be done. Something can be done, but it needs to be done very quickly. And hopefully, because of what we're seeing, I thought after last year's fires, maybe we would see some movement in the federal government, but it isn't happening. And it certainly isn't happening fast enough, but we don't see anything happening at all. The ability to fight fires matters. And I keep using here, the tribal land in Arizona is such a living reminder of what can be done with proper forest management. You talk about the animals that live in the forest, and if you clear things out or you clear the underbrush, you chase out or you get rid of the habitat for some of these animals, which most people don't believe is true anyway. But even if it was true to a certain extent, displacing them is better than what happens when the fires happen. The Apache land is my favorite example. I've used it 100 times. Being up there so often, being up to the Apache land for rodeos and for other things in northern Arizona, and its close proximity to Sholo and that part of the White Mountains, when fire strikes up there, you can watch those fires dance around the Apache land because they cut fire trails in. They're not beholden to American laws. And so they can cut fire trails in. They can manage the forest the way that they deem necessary. And if anybody believes that there are not animals and there are not thriving herds up there, you're wrong. You're just wrong. And things need to be done for Arizona, and things need to be done to prevent what's happening, because every year we're watching devastation that takes decades to have any kind of growth come back. And we're losing it at an alarming rate, and it's getting worse, and especially with this drought, it's a big danger. In a moment, we're going to talk about something else that's very difficult, and that is the eviction moratorium is set to end, and how many families around the country and here in Arizona might be in danger of losing their homes. And by the way, just after 9 o'clock, Matt Salmon joins us, former Congressman Matt Salmon, who is now running for governor. We're going to talk to him about his race for the governor's office here in the state of Arizona. It's going to be a busy morning. I hope you'll stick around for it.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks again for being here. We've been talking so much about the virus and about vaccines and everything else for so long. One of the things we've been discussing on the show for that same length of time is, what do we do about the economy? When do we start climbing out from where we are? There are statistics, and you know, they are, matter of fact, new numbers came out this morning of COVID-19, for COVID-19. What ends up happening is we focused on what we needed to, saving lives, all of that was absolutely necessary. At what point, and this is the question I asked then, do we look at the statistics? Because we knew that the first statistic to climb was number of cases. Then following that would be hospitalizations. They would climb. And then behind them would be deaths. They would climb. And then, and that's how they were. That's the way they lagged. They called those other statistics lagging statistics. With the economy here in America, the lagging statistic is foreclosures and evictions. That there are families that are in their homes only because you can't evict them. They are thousands and thousands of dollars behind in their mortgage. And how they're ever going to catch up, we don't know. The other part of this, and this news story says 8 million households in America. Do the math divided by 50. Now, we know it's not going to be equal in every state, but do the math on 8 million households in danger of foreclosure or eviction. What that means here in the state of Arizona for all of us. And when you have this kind of a threat in front of you, what can be done? Because it's not just forgiving debt. That's impossible. You're talking about, in I would say, a big percentage of those 8 million is going to be renters. Well, renters have a landlord, and many landlords are people with investment properties. So it's not something where you can just say, oh, those people are millionaires and billionaires, and they can live without that money, so just forgive the debt. I mean, there's all kinds of these silly ideas that people, we can just erase debt and just start at zero again, and let's just start over. There are landlords out there that own investment properties as a part of their retirement. And it's a huge percentage of rental properties. And they have mortgages on those investment homes. And you know how it works. It's an individual or a couple that decides part of our retirement will be, let's try to buy two or three or four houses by the time we're 40. And then by the time we're 65, they'll all be paid off, and then we can use that as passive income and just maintain them home, those homes, as a part of our retirement. And there's so many people that do this or try to do this throughout their life. If they if they're foreclosed on because you're not paying your rent and they can't pay all of those mortgages, they're going to work longer. They're going to lose a big chunk of their retirement. It's going to go back to the lender, back to the bank. And that's the issue that is going to be an absolute nightmare. And so this is such a complex issue, but it's an indicator of how things really are. The stock market is had dropped off a little bit because of we're starting to get rid of the government subsidies. But we need to pay very close attention to this. There needs to be solutions. There was rental assistance for people that people didn't know existed or couldn't take advantage of. They couldn't get the money fast enough. And these are, a lot of these people are very hardworking people. We talked about the service industry in Arizona, and I hate narrowing in on just one group of people all the time, but thinking about the service industry, it's an industry where people can make a nice living, but it usually doesn't come with a benefit package. It does certainly doesn't have, you know, any kind of safety net that comes along with it. And when people lose their jobs or are dramatically reduced in hours and they can't make the money they were making before, this becomes an issue. So now we are climbing back. But what do we do about an $8 million household threat to housing? You know, it would be one thing that it would be gobbled up in the economy since there's such a housing crunch in Arizona. But what about the families that are displaced? And this is a real issue. This is one of the big issues that was talked about when we were saying, what do we do about getting our economy going again? Because just like COVID-19, the longer you waited to intervene, the worse it got. Well, the same thing with the economy. And we still have not suffered the brunt of this yet, and it's coming. In a moment, we're going to talk with Gatos. It's the big Q poll question of the day. And then we talk with Matt Salmon, who is a gubernatorial candidate right here in the state of Arizona. All that's coming up here in just a couple of moments.
The Gatos Big Q poll question, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.
Hey, good morning, Gatos.
Good morning, Mike Broomhead. I'm in the car.
Well, you sound like you're on a megaphone. You sound like Al Sharpton at a rally.
That's terrible. We should cancel this segment.
No, we shouldn't. We shouldn't. You make me laugh too much to cancel this segment.
I got to go get my hair did, man. I got to get a haircut. So
didn't
I'm right
you just
outside.
Do that?
No, I do it like every 4 to 5 weeks or so because I'm just a pretty man.
It seems like, all right, Fabio, it seems like you did it 2 weeks ago.
Well, it gave me a chance to listen to your 8:30 segment, and I got to tell you, I give you about a C.
All right, that's okay. I appreciate that from you. That's a compliment. So what else are you doing? Are you getting any other things done? You getting any Botox? You getting a lift or a tuck or anything?
No, I don't need a lift or a tuck, but I think I still need some Botox, as I've been telling you. I'm ready to get the needle. I'm ready to go. Let's straighten out this beautiful face.
Let me ask you a question. What good does that do you on radio?
Probably none.
Yeah.
But I still want it. Why don't you just go with me? We'll both do it. They'll probably inject you more because you're older than I am.
I would need Bondo and a pit crew. Botox is not going to help this face. What do we got for a question this morning?
Oh, too funny. All right. So, Suns point guard, Chris Paul, has COVID. All right.
Yes.
We've been talking about it for 24 hours. How many games do you think he will miss in the Western Conference Finals? So I'll give you a couple of options, you know. He's not going to miss any. Zero. One, two, three, or the whole series. So last night, Utah and Los Angeles played, and the Clippers won. So now on Friday, they go to Game 6 in L.A., which really I think Utah can win that game and Game 7, if you're asking me.
Right.
So that would be good for Chris Paul. You've got to root for Utah to win Game 6 because Paul needs as much time to come back for protocol. So last night I thought went pretty good if you're a Suns fan. You know, L.A. is, you know, kind of the underdog in this series, and a lot of people think Utah is the best team and they can come back and win in 7, which I believe. And you want 7 games because if it goes 7, then Game 1 will be Tuesday. And Chris Paul might be able to make that game for all we know.
Right. And that's...
So I think that's good.
They're supposed to give us an update on Saturday, which seems like years away for people that are trying to find out what the issue is, or at least how long the issue might be. This has got people on pins and needles, and it should. But, you know, the Clippers are playing without Kawhi. They're banged up all around the NBA. So this is going to be tough for the Suns if they don't have Chris Paul because they're missing out on a huge opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, this was supposed to be the week where Suns fans and the team sat back and just relaxed. And now it's possibly the worst 3 to 4 waiting, you know, of the season.
Yeah,
that we're on pins and needles. There's no, I mean, if you're a Suns fan, you should be loving right now. You sweep the Denver Nuggets. You're waiting for a team that they're beating the crap out of each other, and you're getting healthy. And all of a sudden, you know, the Chris Paul thing. You got vaccinated apparently. Got Pfizer. Had it in February, and it's a breakthrough case. My guess is he's not sick, and he just got to pass. Got to pass a couple tests and get it negative and get back out on the court.
What is your feeling on it? Your answer to the question, what are you feeling?
I think he could play Tuesday.
Yeah, I do too.
I think there's a chance. Yeah, I a lot of people are saying he's going to miss the first 2 games of the series. And I think that a lot of people are saying that because that's the worst case scenario, probably 2 games. But if you're the Suns, I think you can win one of those 2 games, let's say in Utah.
Yeah,
if you can win 1 game in Utah, you're great. And then Chris Paul comes back for game three in Phoenix, that place will probably be the most insane place on the planet if that's what happens.
Yep, and it's been and most people would say the practical people are saying you want the Clippers to win in seven because then at least you have your two games at home without your starter, and then he gets back on the road. But whatever, either way, I just want him back.
Yeah, that's a good point. If the Clippers win, then the Suns get home field, home court advantage, and that would be good.
Yep. Well, Gatos, go get your hair cut. We look forward to seeing your pretty face this afternoon.
I'll send you a pic.
Oh, perfect. Thank you so much. All right, Gatos, that is the Big Q poll question today is brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.